Lena Shapiro joins us from the University of Illinois. We've chatted with Lena before in April as she's the first director of the First Amendment Clinic at the University of Illinois. Lena, it's great to have you on the show again. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
Is the sun shining? Are you down at Champaign-Urbana today?
I'm actually in Chicago this weekend.
Oh, nice. Well, there you go. Well, thanks for joining us here on the show. First Amendment and the social media world. These are two areas that kind of butt heads sometimes, don't they?
Yes, they do. And they certainly came to a head with the July 4th ruling in Missouri versus Biden.
Yeah. I want to back up just a little bit. An everyday person, I post something on social media. It violates a term of service of one of the social media companies. They remove it. Is that a violation of my First Amendment rights?
It's not. So the First Amendment only applies to government entities, and social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are private companies, so they can regulate what goes on their platforms.
So when someone says, oh, that violates my First Amendment, maybe it violates the spirit of it to some people, but it's not a violation of it.
Sure. It's not a legal violation that you could seek a remedy for when a private company does it.
Right. Okay. So if I get something removed because of a term of service, fine. I may complain about it, but I don't have a legal argument. Is it a First Amendment violation? And I guess this is an open question. If I post something and it is removed partly because the administration asks for it to be removed, this is kind of the crux of this case, right?
Yes, that's the exact issue in Missouri versus Biden. And unfortunately, the question is really a difficult one. The government is not permitted to come in and direct companies to remove certain content from their platform. And there's case law that holds, if a government official comes in and threatens to employ coercive state power to stifle certain speech, regardless of whether the punishment comes from, whether they're threatening to amend a regulation, whether they're threatening to pursue an antitrust lawsuit, anything like that, that is not allowed.
Okay. So this would then seem on its face, well, I guess on its face, it seems like, well, then this seems to be a violation. But I guess if it's a request instead of a directive, that opens up a real gray area, doesn't it?
Sure. And that's the government, of course, is arguing that the communications, the extensive communications they had with social media platforms were really communications and requests. And ultimately, it was the platforms who decided what to take down. But the argument of the plaintiffs is that, well, there was threatening and coercive behavior. And I think one of the judges quoted in the hearing something to the effect of, well, it's a nice social media platform you've got there. It would be a shame if something happened to us. Sort of a quote from, an old mafia thing.
Wait, that was a quote from someone in the Biden administration to one of the social media outlets?
It was a quote that was discussed in the oral argument once it came up to the Fifth Circuit appeal.
Interesting. What is the Biden administration's defense of this? Where, maybe not necessarily that quote specifically, but just in general, what are they saying is the public good for what they're trying to stop happening?
So they're saying it's very important for the government to be able to communicate with public platforms on a variety of issues. Primarily two issues that were at the heart of this complaint were communications regarding COVID-19 and, the efficacy of vaccines, the importance of vaccines, the masking policies, and then fighting disinformation relating to the 2020 election. Quite frankly, the order that was handed down by the judge, while many are interpreting it that the government is prohibited from communicating with platforms about certain issues, there are a lot of exceptions that the judge makes that the government can communicate with platforms about. So it's a very vague ruling.
What sorts of exceptions does the judge allow?
Well, the judge says that things in terms of, national security or related to crime are still that the government can still talk to them about, which, what that means and how that translates is vague. And I think that's something that's going to be discussed on appeal, the scope of what's a very, very broad ruling.
who are the plaintiffs in this case? This isn't the social media companies, is it? These are people that feel like their speech was censored?
It's not. The plaintiffs, the original plaintiffs in the case were the states of Missouri and Louisiana that were filed by their attorneys general. In, I believe, October of 2022, a few plaintiffs were added, including Jim Hoft, who's the owner of the Gateway Pundit, which has been reported to be a right-wing conspiracy website, and two academics co-authored the Great Barrington Declaration, which questioned how the government handled the COVID-19 pandemic.
Interesting. I could see why the so-called news outlets, you know, I haven't really dove into that too much, but people that say that they're journalists, that makes sense to be a plaintiff. Why did states sue the Biden administration? What standing do they have to say that what the Biden administration is doing is wrong if the states themselves aren't the ones that are seeing their speech violated? Or am I missing something there?
Well, the states are saying that they have, in order to be able to govern, they have to be able to communicate, and there has to be a free flow of information, and there has to be free speech for their own citizens. So on behalf of their interests, they brought the lawsuit.
Okay, so it's a state on behalf of some of their citizens. Where do the social media accounts stand in this? Have they said that they feel pressure? Have they said that, no, it seemed like an okay ask and we went with it? Like, I feel like that's an important piece of the puzzle here.
Well, I think the social media companies are placed in a delicate position. I mean, they certainly, you know, when faced with, if we take the allegations and the complaint is true, that they were threatened with the government potentially amending Section 230, which gives the social media platforms liability from what their users post, threats of an antitrust action. I mean, they certainly are encouraged generally to cooperate with the government. And there's been reporting that the social media platform companies deferred to a lot of government agencies like the CDC when discussing what would be reported as accurate, or what's considered to be accurate information, what's considered inaccurate information.
So a social media company might feel, you know, and generally speaking, we want people to, this is the marketplace of ideas here digitally. We want this to kind of play out here, but we're going to err on the side of do what the government says because we fear they could change laws or try to break us up as too big if we don't play along. Am I getting that right?
That's certainly the concern that these platforms have.
And then that would be essentially a chilling effect on speech.
Yes, certainly.
Okay. So you mentioned Section 230. I've heard this used, the Trump administration talked about Section 230 as well. Can you explain what this is exactly? You kind of gave us a little bit of rundown, but dive into it. Section 230 means that social media companies are what instead of what?
So Section 230 is a federal law that, generally speaking, shields online platforms from liability for their users' posts. So those were issues that were addressed by the Supreme Court this summer, which held Section 230 intact. I think a lot of people were speculating or thinking that the Supreme Court was going to limit Section 230's immunity from liability, right, that it provides, but it didn't do that.
So like a newspaper can be held liable for what they print if it turns out to be defamatory, libel, or whatever it is, or cause some major harm. The newspaper can be sued, but a social media platform is ruled to not be a publisher. Then instead kind of is a funnel for other people's thoughts, that if those other people's thoughts are dangerous or problematic, you can't necessarily hold the social media platform responsible. Do I have that right?
Correct. You can't.
Okay. Very good. Where does it go from here? So it was ruled in Missouri in beginning of July. Have the appeals played out yet? Where are we at?
So appeal was filed. An intention to appeal the order was filed the next day in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Sort of put the preliminary injunction order on hold, which means that the government doesn't have to abide by it for now. There was briefing and there was argument in front of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where this is pending. And there's a ruling pending on that. The justices, and it's been noted that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is generally considered to be a conservative court of appeals. And the three justices on the panel that heard the arguments for this case Two were appointed by President George W. Bush, and one was appointed by President Trump.
Okay. You spent years as a litigator with commercial intellectual property, all this stuff. What's your read of the case? Where do you think the ruling in July stands? If you feel comfortable sharing kind of your thoughts on that ruling and where this whole case lies.
Sure. Well, I think one of the biggest problems with the order is how overbroad and vague it is. I mean, for example, it prohibits not just government actors, but private actors as well from engaging with social media platforms. So I think on appeal, it's likely to be limited. I think generally, you know, the public has an interest in, of course, preventing the government from dictating to social media platforms what can be posted and what can't be posted. And that should be true irrespective of who the administration is. You know, there are allegations in this complaint that some of the forceful interactions between the government and platform started back in 2018 when President Trump was in office. And so we certainly have an interest in making sure that the government is limited from how much they can control the speech that occurs on these platforms and thereby chill speech more broadly. But I just think this order is too broad and has to be limited. And I think we really need to have more development of a bright line rule about what it looks like when there is government coercion and when it's just the government communicating matters of national importance or things related to a pandemic. Because certainly the government needs to be able to communicate with platforms about those issues.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, because I understand the government like being like, hey, ping, this one doesn't look so great for X, Y, and Z. But when it plays out in reality, when it's email sent between government officials, that's where the murkiness comes into play and the language used. So I would agree that there needs to be a more concrete resolution to how the government can communicate in a way that doesn't chill speech. And I think that is what the rub of this whole case is, Lena.
Yep. I agree.
All right.
And I hope it's clarified on appeal.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Lena Shapiro, I appreciate your time. Thanks for breaking this down for us, okay?
No problem. Thank you.
Director of the First Amendment Clinic down at the University of Illinois College of Law. Man, the First Amendment is always so exciting. Even just freedom of speech, which is just one little part, well, one big part of the First Amendment, can be a complicated thing. And there's case law going back 230 years about the freedom of speech. Back when the freedom of speech was just about what you said as the town crier or passing out pamphlets. And that First Amendment still holds today, where we are in the world of TikToks and Instagrams. It's a beautiful thing. It's a messy thing. It's a murky thing. And we appreciate Lena breaking that one down for us.